Radio. The transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public. Fanboy. A male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
Here we are, another podcast where we talk to the people we admire in radio. This lady, known for quite some time, and her voice is very recognisable. There isn't a city or a town in Australia where you haven't heard her on radio or television. She's the voice of the Hit Network. She is the voice of CFM Sunshine Coast. She is the voice of 104.7 in Canberra. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Cassie Aldridge. Hello.
Hello. That was a massive introduction.
I could have kept going on and on, but you know, I just thought I'd just leave the big names in there for you.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome along to the Radio Fanboy Podcast. Now, you know how much of a radio fanboy I am and how much of a fan I am of you. So
that's so sweet.
The Cassie Aldridge story. I'm sure a lot of people would love to hear your story about how you got into radio and how you became the voice of Australian radio. Like, your voice is just everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. And you know what the funny thing is? I never actually intended for it to be that way. I mean, when I was a teenager, I wanted to be a journalist.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. And I started studying journalism and I found radio along the way. And I landed a job as a commercial, as a production assistant. And kind of never looked back at uni. So
did you get a chance to read a news bulletin? Surely in your uni doing journalism studies, you had to, you know, do a few practice ones.
Yeah, I did lots and lots. And so I always kind of, when I'm reading commercials and things now, if there's someone that needs to do like a fake news report or something like that, I'm typecast into that because I can do a good mock of what a journalist sounds like.
Yeah, well, you've got to be able to be versatile as a voiceover artist, don't you, these days?
Yeah, you need to be able to literally do anything and be able to interpret things. And sometimes you need to be able to even give a client or a writer even something different than what they're expecting to hear as well.
Yes, so, yeah. Definitely. Interpretation of the script, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Hey, you did mention that you started your career as a production assistant. Whereabouts was that?
It was where I am now, actually, at Star FM and 2AY in Albury. So back then it was DMG Radio, so before all the radio stations split and everything. So, yeah, I was 19 years old when I first started there, so a very long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, like you said, you're back there now. It must feel good to have done your radio career and gone to stations here, there and everywhere and now be back home with your family.
Oh, and this is the thing, like at the end of the day, like I've worked in some amazing radio stations with some amazing people in some amazing places, but at the end of the day, nothing beats home. Family comes first.
No, what was that movie? There's No Place Like Home? Yeah, Wizard of Oz, yeah.
Wizard of Oz, yeah.
So, You've worked at some metro stations. I think Today FM was one of them. Nova 969 as well.
Yeah, I worked at Vega. Where else have I worked? At Triple M, obviously.
You even did a bit of work at the ARN guys for a while.
Yeah, I was with ARN for a while. Actually, I do a lot of voiceovers for them still for their commercial production teams, which is really good that I've been able to keep the relationships there because great group of guys there, so very lucky.
There'd be a lot of people when they hear your voice, they think, oh, she must be one of those ladies that's in Sydney and she gets to go to all the big production studios and whatever. But no, you're based in Albury, Wodonga, which is a regional town on the border of New South Wales and Victoria.
It is. I'm like, we're going through some major difficulties at the moment with the whole border shutdown and things like that. So even getting studio access and stuff is quite difficult at the moment. So I'm coming to you now from my bedroom in my house. So
do you want to give us a tour of your bedroom? What's in your bedroom? Do you want to open some drawers and run through things?
No? Okay. So I've got like some soundproofing and stuff around me at the moment to try and stop Bob, the next door neighbor's lawnmower, coming through. You know, I've got a computer set up, got my monitors. So basically when this whole shutdown thing happened, I picked up my production studio from the SCA offices in Albury, and I've shifted everything to my house in Wodonga.
Really?
I've been here ever since.
So what sort of gear are you running? Everyone's curious in radio land as to what gear voiceover artists have in their house.
Yeah, okay. So I'm running Pro Tools for production.
Yeah.
So, and usually I use a Mackie Big Knob as my interface, but I'm using a Focusrite at home, the 2i2 Scarlett.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. I am using Sonodyne speakers, but usually at work I would use Mackie speakers.
Yep.
And I use a Rode NT2A microphone. I love the Rodes. They're my favourite.
And what sort of soundproofing do you need for a bedroom?
Basically just anything you have that can stop early reflection. So I've got some acoustic panels that go up on the wall, some really strong like movers blankets and things like that, just up against like windows and things like that. So it's just kind of like this corner that's blocked off just to stop that.
And if you've been out of the studio and you're doing the mobile thing, do you improvise when it comes to sound solutions? So if you're in a hotel and you get a client asking for a read?
It's funny, like last year I spent just over a month in Europe, and I took my my Rode USB microphone with me over there, and I just had like a camera adapter for it, and I just plugged it straight into my iPhone. So I would be in hotel rooms setting up like pillow and blanket forts, or if I got lucky, sometimes the hotel room would have an ironing board, so I'd be able to drape a doona over the top and then lay down pillows. It's just all about stopping that reflection. And look, 9 times out of 10, no one could even tell the difference.
No. Well, I was going to really say, did you take any photos? Because the visual is quite impressive in your brain.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
That'd be hilarious on social media.
But, you know, it just goes to show you, you always think about like the visual behind things happening and stuff like that. It's like, you know, news readers who don't wear pants under the desk and things like that. You don't actually want to see what a voice artist has to do in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
We just need to get that good sound, that good clean sound.
Absolutely. It takes you to a magical place in radio land, in the theatre of the mind, as they say. And, you know, people have got visions of you being in this big production house in Sydney, whereas, like you said, you could be in a hotel room with a pillow fort, or in your bedroom with sound cladding and everything else going on.
Can I just say, though, it is a lot nicer and a lot more luxurious to be in a nice Sydney production studio.
Yeah.
Especially when someone brings you a glass of water and asks you how your day is. It's a bit more glamorous than stepping into your room and turning on your laptop and hitting record and off you go.
I've never had the privilege of actually recording in a Sydney studio, like a production agency. Can you describe what it's like? Is it quite stressful? Because you usually have a client or something standing there and they're directing you how they want their commercial to sound.
Yeah, so it's really different, I find, as opposed to when you go to an agency versus a radio station. See, when I go to a radio station, for me, I feel like I'm with my peeps.
Yep.
So, you know, for me, I'm a lot more casual and relaxed and chatty and things like that. I still get quite nervous when I have to do an agency job.
Really?
Yeah, because it's never just you and a producer and a writer. It's usually a client and three writers and then the agency, and then the agency's representative, and then you usually have an audio producer as well. So you're getting lots. It's like a panel of people. And, you know, I remember the first agency job that I ever had, and it was literally one line. And I've seen this and I've gone, I'm going to get this in one take for you guys. You know, we'll all be able to go to lunch early.
Yeah.
I spent 2 hours recording that one line, and I walked out and I wanted to cry. I'm like, oh my God, is this what voice acting is actually about? Like, because I'd come from the radio background, you know, it was kind of more just, you know, we get it, we might do 2 or 3 takes just to get the best version, and then off we go. But it was just, it was really intense.
You know,
me, but
I'm really curious now what the line was that you had to get right. Can you remember what it was?
I can't remember. No. I would have been 21 years old. I just remember that it was.
Well, that wasn't that long ago, was it, Cass?
Ha 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 ha.
Considering you said you started in radio when you were 19.
Yeah, I know. So no, it's funny. Well, here you go. You can do some maths. This is my 18th year in commercial radio this year. Okay.
So 18 plus 19. Oh, wow. You're just a little bit younger than me.
Yeah, probably.
You look so young, though.
Oh, thank you.
And, of course, you've got a younger voice, so, you know.
I'm actually, you know, and this is the thing, like, I love it that I'm still getting cast for early 20 VOs and things like that. And yeah. It's just like, guys, I'm nearly 40, you know. And they're like, yeah. But, you know, I figured that's it's a good thing because then I'm going to be 60 and I'm going to sound like I'm 40. So hopefully wow. It'll bring me some longevity.
Yeah, that's a long-term career, isn't it?
Hopefully.
That'd be funny. So one thing that always pops up in a conversation to you is you talk about how much you are a fangirl of pop music. So what songs or artists did you grow up listening to and just, you know, have the posters on your bedroom wall listening to?
Gosh, I love a good boy band. Let's just start with that.
Yep.
Look, as a teenager, Human Nature.
Oh,
I was
yes!
a massive fan of Human Nature. I was going to marry Michael. He was the short one with the curly hair.
Yes.
Or the big hair. Oh, I had our wedding planned out.
Oh, my God. And then so you met him and it freaked him out a bit, I would imagine.
No, I didn't. I was actually so awkward when I met him the first time because I was so scared. And I'm like, I'm such a loser. I bought, like, this is back in the late 90s. Remember when friendship necklaces were a thing?
Yes.
I don't know. They were for girls. So it's like you'd give one to your bestie and then, you know, you'd keep one. And I bought these matching necklaces and I gave him one of them and he's like, he looked at it and he's like, oh, thank you. That's really thoughtful.
Oh, no. Be awkward. He didn't know what to say.
I know. 15-year-old me struck out.
I'm pretty sure Human Nature was like the very first band I interviewed when I started my radio career back in 96. I think they had a song called Telling Everybody.
Yeah, that was their second single.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
so.
I was making fun of it because of the bio came through and I thought, oh, these guys aren't going to go anywhere or do anything and blah, 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 and did the interview. And, you know, look at them now. They've been over to Las Vegas and they're still performing and, you know, boy bands have come and gone and they're still around.
And they're still going, yeah. Absolutely. But that was so I grew up around like that era when it was like Spice Girls and Hanson and the real power pop, you know, like NSYNC and Backstreet and Britney Spears even and Christina.
Oh, yeah.
Like I still love hearing that era of music. Like, yeah.
So what about now? What do you listen to these days? Still the 90s pop stuff or you're kind of migrating to the newer stuff?
Look, when One Direction were at their peak back in, 2013, 14. Yeah. I was a massive 1D fan. I just loved their music. I just love that pop music that has like a killer hook to it and just gets you like, you know, pumped. And I don't know, I just found that. I love a good melody. Nowadays I love CHR radio. I always have. So it's basically anything that's current.
Yeah.
I'm down with. As soon as music gets a little bit old, I'm a bit like, nah, I want to hear some new stuff now. So
it's kind of weird now that radio is going back to the older hits because there doesn't seem to be as much pop music around. Or even the listening audience seems to be getting broader and broader. So playlists are changing all the time.
Yeah, playlists are just going. You know, it's going from being, you know, focusing a little bit of noughties and then, you know, the 2010s era. It's like it's going back to even the 80s and stuff now on a lot of radio stations.
Yeah, well, every night there used to be the top 30 or 40 countdown and it's gone now. It's crazy.
Yeah, but Deanna, but like a lot of these charts, are they relevant anymore? Because the way we consume music is very different.
That's
we're not
true.
Just relying on record sales and things like that now because we've got to look at streaming and, you know, radio play and all these different things that come into it. So
yeah, definitely. When it comes to doing like a voiceover session and that, what are some of the tips that you'd give to someone that's, you know, getting their head around reading a copy for the first time? What sort of things do you do?
Oh, look, I get asked this a lot actually when I have, you know, clients and stuff come in or I often get a lot of children come in wanting to learn and stuff as well. The best thing you can do is read out loud. So when I was younger, I used to go home every night and I would read 5 scripts out loud before I'd go to bed.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily about just having a great sounding voice. It's being able to deliver it and read it in a way that it sounds like a commercial, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, we often have, you know, people that will come in and go, oh yeah, my friends tell me I've got a good voice. It's like, you know, it's that all, you know, and I'm, you know, I've got a great voice for radio.
Yeah.
But it's not about that so much. It's, yeah. So I always tell people practice reading, because if you can read, you know, a 30-second script two time without stopping, and then you start to get the little nuances and stuff. I mean, I used to listen to a lot of voice actors as well. Like, I'm a massive fan of Simone Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Love her voice.
Yeah.
And I used to just listen to her demos over and over again and go, I just really want to sound like her. And of course, I was never ever going to be able to sound like her because I'm me, I'm unique. Yeah. But yeah, I just feel that listening to her, I was able to go, okay, she's done an inflection like that. Okay, what if I try doing it this way?
Yeah.
Will that get me, you know, and it was that. But then like direction as well. Like, if you're in a position of being able to get some coaching from some pros in the industry, like, I've been so lucky over the years to be directed by some of the best audio producers in the country.
Oh, come on. Let's name drop here, Cassie. Who are we talking about here?
Casey Baker.
Yes.
DJ KCB.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Nicklich at Fox. Yep. Well, he was at Fox. He works in the podcast one section now.
Yeah.
Of course, David Konski. How could you, you know?
DJ Konski. Ladies
Konski
gentlemen.
In the house.
Yeah.
Complete legend. Bruce McDonald is another one. Barry McCall was one of the Crash.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the first people that had the pleasure of trying to teach 19-year-old know-it-all Cassie how to voice.
I was his production assistant for a while too.
Yeah. Crash has been around for a while.
Yeah.
He's worked at a lot of different stations and stuff. So
I remember when I was going to Hot 91, you said, say hello to Crash, and I'm like, what is she talking about? Like, say hello to someone that's about to crash or something. And then I met him and I was like, oh, so you're the one that Cassie's talking about, right?
Yeah, he's a legend.
And he's got like an English-Australian accent. It's kind of,
it's a hybrid voice. He has, and he hasn't really lost the full British there, but it makes him sound unique. So I hear him on like the Prime and Seven billboards and stuff, and it's like his voice is so recognisable and it's so unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy too. He's very passionate about what
Legend.
He does.
Legend. Yeah. Legend. I wouldn't, if it wasn't for Crash hiring me, I wouldn't have ever had a career in radio. Wow. He was the first person to hire me full time.
Thanks, Crash. Love your work.
Thanks.
And what about Bilko? I was talking to him the other day on the podcast and, he remembers you well.
I was one of his prize pigs.
Were you?
Yeah, I actually was. Bilko is probably the person that's responsible for me getting into radio in the first place.
Okay.
Because if it wasn't for him, because I used to call up when I was like 14, 15, and I was like, oh, can I win a pizza? Can I win a free CD? I was that person.
Oh, wow.
I love listening to you. And he said, well, why don't you go down to the local community radio station, here's the number and you need to talk to this person. And I'm like, oh, okay. So 15-year-old me got my grandmother to take me down to the local community station, and I went in all, you know, doe-eyed, and I'd really like to be on the radio. Program manager there at the time, a gentleman by the name of Keith Melbourne, who sadly passed away a couple of years ago, he said, look, I don't have any space for you, but you know what? I do a country music show on the weekends. Why don't you come on and do an hour during my show? And so that was it. I suddenly went from this girl that loves bands like Hanson and Backstreet Boys and Human Nature and Spice Girls to learning a lot about country music very, very quickly.
What sort of stuff were they playing? Was it like Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, or is it more Australian stuff?
Yeah, it was. No, and like Keith was a big fan of Slim Dusty, so there was a lot of that. But I tried to put some modern country in, so I tried to put a bit of Dixie Chicks and stuff like that. And it was called Cassie's Kind of Country.
Yeah! How awesome's that?
Well, I thought it was pretty awesome at the time. I mean, none of my friends listened, but, you know, all good.
Could it make a comeback, Cassie?
Oh, maybe. Look, you know, maybe when I'm done with commercial radio and I've retired, I'll start a community show and see how we go. I'm sure there'll be a massive following. People love country music in this country.
It's huge now. Absolutely huge.
Yeah, I'm surprised the commercial networks haven't kind of jumped on it a bit more.
Yeah,
really?
Well, they seem to be on the digital front, Triple M Country and so forth. But,
but surely they could sneak in a few more country songs per hour.
Yeah, see, if anyone's listening from the networks, Cassie's Country Hour could be making a comeback.
That's it.
I can imagine you with a cowboy hat on too.
Stop it.
And you could even do your own TV commercials, walking up to the camera with a horse and
go,
feeding
howdy.
It hay.
G'day. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Cassie, thank you so much for joining us on the Radio Fanboy Podcast. My goodness. I didn't realise there was so much backstory to your amazing radio career, but there you go. You're a woman of many talents, aren't you?
Oh, you know, I do what I do. Yeah.
You're a very busy woman. Every time I'm trying to get a hold of you, it takes a little bit for you to get back to me. But, you know, in true form, you definitely do that. And I appreciate your time, that's for sure.
No, it's been great catching up. It's been nice to do it over the... do we call these airwaves? What do we call them?
I don't know. Internet dial tones or something. Yeah.
Thingies. Yeah. Yeah. You know, cyberspace soundy things.
Cassie Aldridge, she's the voiceover for the hit network CFM Sunshine Coast, FM 104.7, and also a senior commercial producer at the hub for the Southern Cross Stereo Hub in Albury. It's the Radio Fanboy Podcast. You want to check us out online? TheRadioFanboy.com.au.
The Radio Fanboy Podcast, hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions. Dan Hill speaking.